Okay. Good morning. Well, we have an exciting announcement this morning. Lieutenant Gunver Reynolds and I are pleased to be joined by Bruce Rastetter, a Richard O. Jacobson Foundation board member, and Dr. Deborah Reed, director of the Iowa Reading Research Center at the University of Iowa. Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I are pleased to announce that funding has been raised to move forward with Iowa's 2016 Intensive Summer Reading Pilot Study. This pilot project will make a significant difference for children all across the state of Iowa. It will help school districts prepare for the requirement to provide a high-quality summer reading program starting in the summer of 2017 for students with difficulty in reading at the end of third grade. Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and I are grateful for the generous private and public in-kind contributions that are being made to this summer reading pilot project. Private gifts will cover more than $1.3 million of the $1.9 million total cost of the pilot. Another $350,000 comes from the Iowa Department of Education and from the Iowa Board of Regents. I think that's $100,000 from the Board of Regents. Nearly 25% of the third graders did not read proficiently in 2014-15 on state tests. So this is an important step towards learning how we can do more to help students who are struggling to learn to read. We know that it's critical to identify struggling readers starting in kindergarten and to provide intensive assistance in every school district and every year that they're in school so they can learn to read before they leave third grade. But if a child still has trouble reading at the end of third grade, it's crucial that we get help in the summer so they can succeed when they go on to fourth grade. That's when students are expected to move from learning to read to reading to learn. A 2015 study of school districts conducted by the board, by the Regents Universities, found that about 65% had summer reading programs and that the quality was inconsistent. The 2016 summer reading pilot will provide important information on how to assure outstanding summer reading programs are in place for children no matter where they live in the state of Iowa. Now I'm pleased to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. And you know, children can't receive a globally competitive education if they can't read. And so that's why we're really proud to move forward with the 2016 Intensive Summer Reading Program pilot study. This administration wants to do everything possible to support school districts as they work to make sure a high-quality summer reading program is in place by the summer of 2017. We will seek funding early in the 2017 legislative session for the 2017 summer reading programs. The pilot program will provide important information in the meantime, and the pilot project will include not only a computer-based model, but a print model, as well as a control group. And Dr. Reed is going to give you more information on those three programs in just a moment. Our goal will be to provide 120 sites, or 40 in each of the three categories that I just mentioned, with hopefully 15 students participating in each one of those sites. This means that we could reach approximately 1,800 students with this pilot program this summer. We certainly appreciate the interest of school districts that have signed up to participate, and we're eager to recruit additional school sites that will participate in the program. We're especially thankful for the supporters who are contributing financially to the project, because it absolutely would not have happened without their support. So I want to take this moment to thank the Richard Jacobson Foundation, an anonymous funder, the Iowa Board of Regents, MidAmerican Energy, the William C. Knapp Charitable Fund, the Patty and Jim County Charitable Fund, Iowa West Foundation, Wells Blue Bunny, and four of Iowa's private colleges and universities, Buena Vista University, Central, Dort, as well as Morningside College, ITC Midwest, Bankers Trust, and the Iowa Department of Education. The single largest gift was $750,000 from the Richard Jacobson Foundation. And so at this time, I would like to invite Bruce Rastetter to the podium to give a few more details on why they decided to make this gift. And Bruce served as a member on the foundation board. Bruce?
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. I think a number of you in the room know Dick Jacobson, and has recently received the Iowa Award. And I think one of the really inspiring things for a number of us, and really pleased to be here today on the behalf of the Richard Jacobson Foundation, is Dick's commitment not only to working hard in life and having success, but when he does, to give back. And I think having success, and then also from a philanthropic standpoint, wanting to make a difference with that success, has been a lifetime achievement really for Dick, and continues to be. And so I think a number of you are also aware that Dick recently, a few years ago, gave an $11 million gift to the University of Northern Iowa Literacy Center. So I think over time on Dick's giving, it has changed in a variety of ways, but in particular a focus on early childhood reading, literacy, and the ability to make a difference in your life with the ability to read at an early age. So a number of years ago, he recognized the challenges that young students, in particular second and third graders, were having on literacy and proficiency. So as Linda Fandel and the governor approached the Jacobson Foundation about this gift, we all thought it was very natural to fit in with his commitment to literacy throughout the different programs that he has sponsored. So as the challenge became to match the $750,000 that the Jacobson Foundation committed, a number of really great Iowans, from Bill Knapp to the counties to a variety of individuals, stepped forward to Greg Abel and Mid-American and others. And Kim read the list, so I'll try not to memorize the list from the beginning. But I think it's really an example of public-private partnerships that will make a real difference in people's lives, in particular a pilot program that always hasn't had the state funding available to it, that will be leading edge and innovative. So with that, pleased to be here today, and I'd love to introduce Dr. Deborah Reed from the Research Center.
Thank you, Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, for inviting me to be here today. And I want to express my thanks to the many donors who are making this important project possible. Most summer programs are intended to prevent learning loss, but we will be exploring how to accelerate learning over the summer. We're going to do this by comparing two high-quality reading programs with the school's usual programs that they teach students who are experiencing difficulties how to read. And we're interested in learning about three main things. The first is, how do these different programs work in the very condensed nature of the summer setting? How effective are these programs at helping students improve their abilities? And the third is, how feasible or cost-effective are the programs for schools to implement? As you can imagine, the school districts are our critical partners in this, and so I want to express my deep appreciation to them for participating in the project. As of today, we have over 40 school districts who have committed to this work, with 110 classrooms and over 1,800 students. By the end of the week, we hope to have the full 120 classrooms and 1,800 students committed to making this project possible. And I would welcome any additional schools who are interested in participating to contact me at the Iowa Reading Research Center. In addition to providing the learning environments for the summer study, the school districts will be paying for transportation in some cases, meals for students in some cases, the general facilities and maintenance and upkeep, as well as local administrative costs. The different schools that have committed to participation represent the very diverse context that we have in Iowa, in that they blanket the entire state. They are urban, suburban, and rural, and they have very different student demographics. The schools will be hiring their own teachers, but those teachers will be paid out of the study funds. In addition to the paid certified teachers in the classrooms, college and university students in teacher preparation programs across the state universities and colleges may be serving as volunteers in somewhat of a paraprofessional role in the classrooms. And this will provide them valuable hands-on experiences learning how to work with students who are experiencing reading difficulties. So we want to thank our partners at the Institutes of Higher Education for offering this opportunity to their pre-service candidates. In addition to those volunteers, the Iowa Commission on Volunteer Service is also looking at ways to provide volunteers in the classrooms. All of the paid certified teachers, as well as any of the classroom volunteers, will receive professional development that we're providing in collaboration with the network of 9 area education agencies in the state. So as you can tell, there are a number of groups that are contributing to this project, and I think that really speaks to the high level of commitment that we all have for helping students become successful readers. My research partners at the University of Iowa and I will have a preliminary report of results available this coming fall, but we will continue through the spring, March of 2017, to analyze the wealth of data that will be gathered from this project so that we can provide as much guidance as possible to parents, schools, and to policymakers. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank Dr. Deborah Reed and Bruce Rastetter. I happen to know that Dick Jacobson, a graduate of Belmont, which is in the same conference as Forest City, where I went to high school. So we appreciate that very generous gift from the Jacobson Foundation. And I want to thank the others that also have contributed. This is a great example of a public-private partnership, and it shows that we have Iowans that really do care about improving the reading skills of all of our students. With that, we open it to your questions on this subject first.
How many hours a day or a week will the students stay in the classroom with a teacher?
That is a local decision, and so from the school districts that have already committed to participate, I can tell you that on average, students will be in the classrooms for about 3 hours per day, 4 to 5 days per week for about 4 to 6 weeks of the summer.
And will the students have to pass these state reading tests before they go on fourth grade after they finish the summer program?
That is not a part of the policy which goes into effect in 2017 in terms of the summer program itself, because the state test is administered in the spring, so it won't be administered again at the end of the summer.
Well, they'll be identified as kids that are struggling to read. So it'll be based on the assessments that are done.
Voluntary, in other
words?
No. No, the state is administering universal screening instruments 3 times per year to students, and so they have a gauge on which students are not meeting grade level benchmarks. The summer program, much like the 2017 policy, will be open to those students who are not meeting grade level benchmarks in reading.
Well, you got to go back to the 2012 law, and you may recall we passed a major piece of legislation in 2012 that established the Reading Research Center and put together this intensive program starting with pre-K all the way through third grade, and indicated that effective in 2017, if a student had not met reading proficiency, they would need to go to a summer school. And the point is then, if they don't go to summer school, I think the way the law is, if they don't go to summer school, then they can be held back. So this is an opportunity for them, if with all the intensive effort that's being made in pre-K through third grade, if they still haven't reached proficiency, then there's a opportunity to go to summer school.
The only thing is, this doesn't apply to this summer, because this is a study program to test a couple of the high quality programs to help districts when we implement it in 2017.
Right.
So this year, that the law does not go into effect. This is a pilot, a study program that with a cohort or group of school districts across the state that will be able to kind of test-run, high-quality reading programs that school districts will then be able to implement in the summer of 2017.
If a student is selected for this pilot program, I mean, do they have to do it? If they're not technically bound by the law, it's a pilot program.
Well, it is a pilot project. Yeah. This is a pilot project this summer, and it doesn't cover the whole state, but you've heard it's going to be broadly representative of schools of all sizes. So, and we're going to be testing a couple of different programs that are designed not just to prevent them from falling back, but also hopefully to actually accelerate or improve their reading skills.
Again, will a student who's selected, like a family, will their kid have to?
No.
Have the option?
No, this is a pilot project.
Right.
Yeah. Next year, and next year we're looking at state funding to do this statewide. But this is a pilot project for this summer, and this money is being raised from, you know, both the private and public contributions.
And once this law fully takes effect, will there be criteria a student has to make to be able to manage by the end of the summer in order to move on, or is just taking the program enough?
Yes.
They just have to participate.
Yeah, they have
they
to participate.
Make the decision
so
on
they have been outlawed to read during the summer, they can still move on to sixth grade.
Yeah.
It's based on the 2012 law, basically.
Which says that if you don't reach the level, then you go to summer school, you can't move to fourth grade.
Right. It was a compromise that was worked out in the legislature in 2012 that said that basically in lieu of retention, you could go to this intensive summer program. That was the compromise that was reached in 2012. What we are now doing is moving forward with implementation. And we felt that a pilot project like this that really looked at a couple of programs that Dr. Reed and her colleagues had determined to be effective and good summer reading programs, and then we can evaluate and see what is the most effective and then hopefully utilize that throughout the state.
Students, it's based on their performance.
Yeah.
It's whether or not they're meeting grade level benchmarks, and I think the department is continuing to work on the full definition of what would constitute substantially deficient or to trigger retention. But we're interested in helping those students that are not meeting grade level benchmarks in reading.
Which benchmarks are we talking about? The Iowa assessments or
So the initial benchmarks are based on the Universal Screening Instrument, which over 90% of the school districts in the state are implementing FAST, either FAST A reading or FAST CBM. But I think there will be some additional requirements related to the state summative assessment as well. Curriculum-based measure of reading, which is an oral reading fluency measure. It's a quick, efficient means of assessing students' overall reading ability. So it's not based on one data point alone. It's based on at least two data points that the student is not meeting benchmark.
Governor, your office has said that you didn't put recommendations for the $9 million that the Department of Education requested to start preparing for the summer reading program that gets implemented next year. Is the belief that if you make a special recommendation to legislators next year, I believe sometime by March to approve it?
Right.
Well,
here we are. We're doing this pilot project now, and we've already visited with school districts, and school districts have indicated they're ready to go forward with the pilot project. So we think that and by doing the pilot projects and raising this kind of private money, I think it shows a strong commitment on the part of this administration, and I've indicated my intent to recommend, I think it's $9 million next year. For the summer of 2017. We just need the support of the legislature to do that. But I think this pilot project will help show why this is important. Plus, we have a law that was passed in 2012 that we intend to implement.
Governor, you mentioned that this was a compromise.
In 2012,
okay.
Yes.
And some in your party thought that this should just be flat out mandatory repeat third grade.
Well, I'm not going to second guess what the legislature did in 2012, but as the chief executive of the state, I want to follow through in good faith with the commitment that was made by the legislature and the executive. And I want to thank the Reading Research Center for all the work that they have done over the last several years, putting this together and really putting some programs in place to really help kids with intensive assistance. And this is something that the legislature, when they passed it, said would take effect in 2017. What we're announcing today is the pilot project to really test what can be the most effective summer reading program for the kids that are not achieving what they need to be in terms of reading proficiency. So I think what this does is it shows that we made a commitment to every kid in Iowa that we're going to do all we can to try to make sure that they can learn to read effectively, so then when they go on beyond third grade, they can learn their other subjects. I think it's an extraordinary commitment. I'm proud of the fact that we did it, and now we're following through to implement what the legislature approved back in 2012. A lot of work's already done, but been done by the Reading Research Center. This is just the next step along the way.
Yeah, that would be from the board office budget. And I think, as you're aware, we have three colleges of education at the three public universities. So I think Executive Director Donnelly just thought this made sense to help provide the resources.
Other questions on this subject? Well, we're very excited about it, and I want to thank obviously, all the contributors, I also want to especially thank Deborah Reed and the Reading Research Center for the good work that you're doing, and obviously the Department of Ed and Ryan Wise is here representing the department. So we're excited about this, and we're very encouraged that this is a significant step forward for Iowa kids. So thank you. With that, we'd open it to your other questions today. Well, this is really a legislative matter. I laid out my priorities in the condition of the state address, and we're going to continue to work through the legislative process. And as you know, the funnel week applies to non-appropriations and ways and means bills. And so my staff will continue to work diligently with legislators in both houses to get this accomplished. And this is a process that's been in place for a number of years. It's a way to try to get the legislature to focus on the things that are critical and recognize that not everything is going to be eligible for debate after the final process begins.
But you don't have any policy items that are...
Oh, we have a number of policy items that we spelled them out, and we're working with the legislature. And there are also exceptions, as I mentioned, appropriations and ways and means bills and bills that are sponsored by the leadership are exempt. So there's many, and amendment process is another way to accomplish things. So, we will work with both houses of the legislature through this process, and we recognize that they're a separate branch of government. This is a rule that they put in place, and they've had in place for decades, frankly, that's helped facilitate the legislative process. So we're very understanding and supportive of what they're doing, and recognizing this is a critical set of deadlines that they placed on themselves, and we want to facilitate and encourage the accomplishment of as much as possible this session.
I believe I saw last week that your water quality bill was formally introduced. I might have said wrong, but
it's in the Agriculture Committee in the House, and we are... And the Senate Ways and Means Committee.
How are you feeling about its chances now that it's a couple weeks?
Well, we're feeling good about it. We've been getting growing support from a lot of different groups, environmental groups, business groups, agriculture groups, and we're meeting with a lot of superintendents and a lot of leaders in education. And as people become more knowledgeable, We think that, and we've also indicated a willingness to work with some of the people that have other ideas, like Representative Jorgensen. He's the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, and we've indicated a willingness to incorporate some of his ideas into our comprehensive piece of legislation. So we're hopeful that this is a huge priority. This is one of the most innovative, long-term commitments I think we could possibly make. Water quality is critically important to this state's future, and we want to make sure that we're working in a collaborative way to address the issue and that we have a long-term, reliable source of funding for that, as well as for school infrastructure. And the proposal we have would provide $20.7 billion for school infrastructure and nearly $4.7 billion for water quality.
So you see some amendments to the bill?
Yes. We've been working with, and we've said it's a framework, and we've been working with the key members of the legislature on some of their ideas that we think could be incorporated. Yeah. Well, I learned that for the first time right there.
How do you beat out your time? Are you going to go see the Drake women's basketball team?
Well, it depends upon my schedule and what I can do. But, you know, both, Iowa and Iowa State men's teams are doing great. Drake's women's team is doing great. I'm a big supporter of Iowa athletics, and it's exciting to see what they've done. I watched the Iowa-Minnesota game on TV last night, and Iowa is now back in sole possession of first place in the Big Ten. Big Ten with 14 teams, but. Well, I just wanted to be there to congratulate them on a great victory against the number one team. And Niang, who's a real leader of that team, is the one that taught me how to do that. So anyway.
Can you show us a little bit?
No.
Thank you,
Governor.
I'll
reserve that for the locker room.
Thank you, Governor.
Yeah.
Governor, we've seen a number, the field is really narrowing on the Republican side. What's your assessment? And we can remember talking with you 6-8 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your assessment of the other race, and what's going to be your role?
Well, first of all, I feel it's important to be a good host. I'm really proud of the Iowa caucuses. We had a record turnout on the Republican side, nearly 187,000. That's more than a 50% increase. The Democrats had the second biggest turnout they've ever had in their caucuses as well. So the Iowa caucuses were well attended. Iowans took their responsibility very seriously. It began the winnowing of the field. We've seen some more after the New Hampshire primary. Obviously, you have a big showdown coming up next Saturday in South Carolina. Donald Trump is definitely an unusual candidate, and he's done things very unconventionally. And frankly, I think he made a mistake to skip the debate here in Iowa. I think that hurt him. But I think he's learned from that. And he put a better ground game together in New Hampshire. And, I guess we'll let the voters that participate in the process through the caucuses and through the primaries determine who they think is the strongest candidate. What's interesting on both parties is the tremendous appeal of the kind of the anti-establishment candidates, be it Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump and Cruz. It's been kind of phenomenal, the anti-establishment census. A lot of people are really upset with the nation, the debt, with the lack of leadership in the world and the dangers they see, and frankly, the lack of economic opportunities for hardworking people. Well, I said I certainly was not going to endorse before the Iowa caucuses, and we'll see down the road. I'm a loyal Republican, so you won't be surprised that I'm going to support the Republican nominee for President of the United States. I think that the country needs new leadership. And I think Obama's foreign policy has been a total failure. And now we have real serious threats, be it ISIS and the dangers in the Middle East or the other Islamic radical groups that want to, you know, they want basically jihad against the West and against America. We see Russia as a significant threat and obviously now playing a significant role in Syria. We also have a situation where in this state, where agriculture is so important, we now have farm income below the cost of production. This is the third year in a row. I was governor during the farm crisis of the 80s. I don't like what I see going on, and I really don't appreciate what the EPA has done to Iowa farmers by not maintaining a robust renewable fuel standard and then trying to impose, and I know there's presently a court-imposed holds on some of the other things they've tried to do, waters of the U.S. and other things. But I'm very concerned, and that's why I think, and I certainly share the sentiment of a lot of people, that we need new leadership and a different direction for this country.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.